Welcome to a special edition episode on the Reserve Pool Podcast here. This is Isaac BV, and joining me today is the founder and creator of the Pro Dice Circuit, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that means and what's coming up for this first inaugural season of the Pro Dice Circuit. So joining me today is Joel. Joel, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on.
Absolutely. So why don't you start with kind of giving the listeners an idea of what your involvement is in the Dice Masters community?
For those that are on Reddit, you might know me. My username on there is Shopped Your Post. I'm one of the moderators. I guess since Dice Masters kind of took off back around AVX, I just thought it needed a community on Reddit. I saw that the subreddit was available at the time, and then ended up talking with, I think it was Dave back when all this was going down. And then we kind of collaborated on it a little bit there in the start. And then I pretty much took over all like the trade thread and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's been a big time for me to start there and then get to where I am now with all this Pro Dice Circuit craziness.
Absolutely. So kind of looking at, we're a little over or fast approaching 2 years into the Dice Master world here. What brought on this idea now to create the Pro Dice Circuit?
Right now, I think that there's just a sort of desire in the community to have another level of organized play, or like something that might be a little bit more competitive than their usual store events for the OP kits that WizKids sends out. I think that they just... the numbers are speaking for themselves, but I mean, I think that the community was just really they just wanted something like this. So, being a player myself too, I saw that and I saw, hey, I also play Netrunner and I saw, hey, like they have a store championship, they have regionals, they have nationals, they have worlds. And WizKids kind of does that too with their WizKids opens last year and then the nationals and worlds and all that. But, with something like a store championship, I think it brings it down to a more local level where you don't have to travel hours and hours away. And that's something I really wanted to see in Dice Masters because I enjoyed that aspect of Netrunner this past year. I went to my first round of store championships and all that stuff in the area. So I think that's what mainly brought on the idea.
Excellent. You mentioned Netrunner along with Dice Masters having these communities. And it's neat to see, I think. Full disclosure for those that may or may not know, Joel and I live in the same town, play at some of the same stores. And when we can go to a store and see 60 people show up for a Magic event, I think we'd like to see that type of thing in our community of Dice Masters as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Magic crowd, no doubt, is a huge crowd all over the country. And I know we're all kind of home fans for Dice Masters, but I really hope to see Dice Masters hitting those kind of levels sometime in the future.
Absolutely. So you came up with this idea, kind of said, okay, I want to do this. And I know we talked a lot about it in the beginning, you know, thinking about stages, but I know at some point you said, okay, I need a team. And I need a team that's going to be outside of just the general Northwest Ohio area. So who makes up this team that kind of supervises and puts together the Pro Dice Circuit?
We've got a good group of people, actually. Yourself, of course, from the Reserve Pool. We've got Indymon, who's been the top-ranked player for I don't even know how long, for a long time. I think right now he's still the top lifetime-ranked player on the WizKids event system. So, I mean, that was a no-brainer to try to get in touch with him. And then, of course, Dysonon guys are great, too. So we talked to Mike, and Mike, I think his I don't know if it's his friend or he plays with them at the same store, but Robert, also from California out there, he's on the team as well. We've got Jenna from up in Vancouver. She's huge on Facebook. She's got all the different groups and stuff that she's a part of. I think it's either the Unlimited one or the Dice Masters discussions. I forget right now, but
it's Unlimited.
Unlimited, yeah. So, I mean, she was another obvious one that I thought, no way we're going to try to leave her out because she knows what she's doing. And then we also have Dane from Sidekicks and Shields. I mean, I've seen him posting on Reddit, on Facebook, everywhere. He just seemed like he's a very well put together gentleman to join us here on the staff.
Absolutely. And you've got some, definitely some players that team members there that are players that are definitely competitive players, and I think they bring some experience to to this idea. And it's interesting, kind of looking at the pro dice circuit from my end, when you first approached me and said, let's look at putting this together. I love the idea of there being another outlet of competitive play. And I know we have some really fun events, whether it be like the two huge feuds or some of the different theme stuff, but boy, I like a good constructed event. And this will really kind of challenge everybody to see how they rank, not only locally, but we start moving into those different state and regional levels as well.
Yeah.
So when we look at the competitive play aspect that this brings about, one of the things I think that will be a big benefit with this as well is, and I write a little bit about that casual to competitive move, is we have a lot of people that are kind of stuck playing the same 6, 8, 10 people in their stores. And what I think that this will bring about is when we have those state championships, it's going to bring people to another store playing some different people. And we're going to have these shifts of, okay, well, my meta at my store is this and yours is this, and let's see how they match up and see what kind of cream rises to the top. I'm really interested to see, do you expect to see some differences in play when we start looking at the state and regional levels?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, I mean, when you get used to playing the same group of people, you start to build teams based on what you think your other local guys are going to be playing. So I guess opening it up to out-of-towners coming into your store or you going to someone else's store, you don't really know. So you kind of have to build your team a little differently and try to touch a little bit in every single area. I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of player you are. I like to try to cover all my bases and try to have something to answer everything. But if you like to be more aggressive, I guess you can go a different route and just build how you want to build and say, forget it. I don't care how other people build. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be a fun time to see new players coming into our store and heading up to other people's stores and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of that, so for our first inaugural season here of the Pro Dice Circuit, what are we looking at? How many stores are signed up to participate this year?
Through the application process, I believe we have, last I checked, I think it was 103 or 104 total stores that applied. And we contacted them back, tried to get a little bit more information. So far, confirmed stores, I think we have around 60 to 65, somewhere in there. And then, like I said, we still have, like I said, another 40 or so that are, we're still waiting to hear back on maybe getting like a date confirmation in or something like that, that kind of information back from them. So we're hoping to get close to that 100 number. I mean, I'm sure we might miss a store here or two that'll drop off, but we certainly hope to be really close to 100 by the time we're running the events here in December and January.
Awesome. And I think that speaks to anybody listening and are curious, or if your store signed up, you know, definitely encourage those friendly local game store owners to follow through with the contact and make sure that your store gets to participate in this event. And we're not just in the continental U.S., is that correct? We've got some outside locations.
Yes, we do have, of course, we have Canada. Like Jenna's from Vancouver. She's got quite a few stores up there that she's been working with. So we have a big Canadian following as well. We've got some up in the Ontario, we've got Alberta, British Columbia, and then we've also got some other international interest as well from Germany, Australia, Guatemala even, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't think we will be traveling to those locations this year, at least.
No, I won't be in Guatemala.
So when we look at this different competitive level, and for those that have kind of looked into the Pro Dice Circuit and looked at kind of what it looks like, there's three different levels of competition and things will be happening at those levels. Can you kind of speak to what that process is going to look like?
Yeah, so far for this first year, we have the store championship level, and then we have the state championship, or I guess it's provincial up in Canada level, and then we also have the regional level. The original idea, we kind of thought about doing our own Pro Dice Circuit championship, like all encompassing everybody in the international, even I guess, could come to this event. It'd be a huge event. But I think that was a little little overreaching to begin with. So some people might know that we thought about that in the beginning. It might be something we will do down the road. But for starters, we're going to start with just the store, the state, provincial, and the regional levels. And then like we talked about earlier, I think it'll help bring a lot of people together that normally wouldn't play together. And that's what I'm really hoping for all these events to accomplish as we go on down the line here.
Yeah, and I know we've said that already, but yeah, I would agree that's one of the exciting things to me. I enjoyed playing, that Origins event level and getting to meet new people and just kind of see what they're bringing to the table. And this is one of the exciting things, I think, when we start looking at that state and regional level. So we've got some, just in our state of Ohio here, we've got quite a few store level events. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head how many there were, but
I think we've got at least we have six confirmed right now, I believe. And then I think we have a few more that we're still waiting on here in Backroom.
Yeah. So that's great. And we've got some great players in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure for a lot of you in your different states, you've got some great players that play maybe not in your backyard, but maybe a couple hours away, and to bring them all together, that's gonna be a lot of fun. I personally am excited to see the Canadian national champion JT wander down the 80-90 turnpike to come over and play in our our town here. He's already kind of staked his flag that he will be coming, taking his championship and leaving. So we'll have to be ready to defend our den here, as it were.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely have to hold the fort here and make sure the championships all stay in Toledo.
Exactly. I'll have my son in there playing, so that'll help.
Yeah, there you go. I guess one more thing there on the different the process of the events. I think it's kind of plastered all over the place on our website, but the winners of the store championship level will be getting a free entry to a state level tournament. So if you win, like let's say I could travel even up to Michigan, I guess, and play in a Michigan event. If I win that, I mean, I don't know that I'm that good, but let's say I do win. This is just for example. let's say I win that tournament up in Michigan, I'll get an entry to a state championship. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be the Michigan state championship. You could go there and then use it in Ohio or whatever. So I think that's one just tidbit I wanted to throw out there, because a lot of people might have gotten confused on that and thought that, hey, I'm not really going to go travel to other states even to play, because if I win, I'm not going to get to have that first place prize of getting a free entry into the next level.
Awesome. And speaking of prizes, obviously, as Dice Master players, we all love our prizes and mm-hmm. our take homes and promo items. And, what kind of things, what kind of swag can I expect to find at these events?
We just announced, in addition to, of course, the playmat and the custom dice for the store championship kits, we announced a new seasonal leaderboard, which will kind of encompass the entire year of events. So whoever ends up finishing in first through 10th, I believe, is what we've got prizes for so far. We'll get additional prizes. And then you earn points to get those prizes. Like I was saying, if you travel to different events, you accumulate these points. And then just kind of like the WizKids event system, you'll earn the points, whatever, and then you'll see yourself rise or fall depending on how you're doing compared to other people and all that across the globe, I guess now. So yeah, there's those prizes. We've got, I think there's a full set of the Iron Fist dice and cards. We've got Batmobile. What else did we get? We got some dice bags, I think, for the top 10. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of different things that we're looking into. We obviously want to get awesome stuff out to everybody, because that's, like you said, everybody loves their prizes. And if there were no prizes, what would a tournament be? I mean, no, we definitely are trying to get some cool stuff out there. And then, like I said, for the store championships, we're doing the play mats and the custom D6 dice from Chessix. They're actually going to be making those up. And then as we go down the line, state level and regional level, we'll probably add some new items in there. We looked into doing dice bags for those, and then possibly some different items that I can't really spoil right now, but hopefully everybody will enjoy them.
That's great. So you kind of keep that in mind when you're looking to sign up for these events. Those dice are limited number dice for some of the stores. So make sure you're signing up and signing up early once your store does list their event. And how do I know, or how do I find out if there's a store near me participating?
Well, you can head on to prodicecircuit.com. Up at the top, we have an event schedule link. You click that, and then it's all sorted by, first of all, by country and then by state. Most of the states, I think all the states except for maybe a couple, have dates listed underneath them. If the state is listed there without any stores underneath them, there could still be an event. We're just waiting on confirmation from stores that send in an application from there. And then we'll continue to post stuff there. I mean, for the ones that are up there right now, they're just for the store championships. But down the road, we'll obviously update it when we get to the state championship or regional levels.
Excellent. And like you said, on the leaderboard idea, it's kind of a neat double dip with it. You will have these events listed in your stores on the WizKids events system, along with the Pro Dice Circuit leaderboard. So don't feel like you've got to stop, you know, gaining points there. Also, just to come play in these events, you'll be able to shine in both arenas as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else, Joel, before we kind of wrap up that you wanted to share that we didn't get a chance to cover, or that you wanted to kind of let the listeners know about the Pro Dice Circuit coming up here?
I think we're just really looking forward to getting the first events going. I know I am looking forward to just seeing the results and seeing kind of how many players show up at all these different events. I mean, right now we're just looking at numbers of stores and all that kind of stuff, but I think it'll start to hit us when we see tournament results coming in, seeing who's winning, seeing what kind of teams are winning, all that. So, I mean, if you have any questions or anything for myself or for Isaac or anybody on the team, feel free to send us a message on Facebook. We do have the Pro Dice Circuit Facebook page. If you just go on there, send us a message, we try to get back with you pretty quickly. You could also send us an email, info@prodicecircuit.com. And we'll try to get back with you. So, yeah, let us know.
Perfect. And again, that website is theprodicecircuit.com. Do make sure you go on for updates on the leaderboards, on events, and for, as Joel kind of hinted at there, for prizes as they come across as we move further down the line for these events. We look forward to hearing and seeing what types of teams are getting played. And kind of like Joel just mentioned, I'm personally really excited to see what happens when we get a competitive scene in a whole bunch of different places and kind of see what kind of cream rises to the top. So for Joel, for myself, and for the rest of the Pro Dice Circuit team, we want to thank you for your interest so far. And we're really excited to see where this first season goes. Joel, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. It was a joy to be on.
Excellent. And we'll let you get back to preparing and planning your team to defend the local Toledo, Ohio area here. So
I got a lot of Vixen coming. So
oh man, we're in trouble. All right, folks, thanks for joining us. And we're returning to the rest of the podcast here on the Reserve Pool Network.
Hey folks, Shadowmeld here. Just wanted to update you on what's going on in the reserve pool. You may have noticed we haven't been uploading in the field or in the lab, and our podcasts haven't really been as full and in-depth as we usually make them. And for example, this week we're not going to have a team. Well, what's going on is RJ got a new job, and it's put a lot of demands on time and pressure, specifically because he's been covering the Canadian national political election, which is amazing for RJ. But between managing the reserve pool and his job and the election, there just hasn't been any time for him to get a lot of the podcasting aspect done. So we've been a little bit behind on that. I've been trying to pick up the slack where I can, and we've done okay. This week should hopefully be the last week. We may do one more week of this kind of impromptu podcast situation. But RJ should be returning here in the next few weeks, hopefully just in time for Amazing Spider-Man. We also lost a very important member of the reserve pool, Dylan's computer. It's dead. It's not coming back. And so Dylan's going to have to lay low for a while until he can convince his wife, if you're listening to this, Dylan needs a computer. I promise. It'll be a great Christmas gift. You can do it. We're all counting on you. Yeah, so Dylan's out of it for a little bit. If he can find a way to work around on his iPad, that'll be amazing, but it's unlikely. In the meantime, JT's going to start picking up video recording, and we are going to have some work covering the contest that Dylan announced the day before his computer died. Oh, the luck. Other than that, we have had a new series of articles. We've got some new contributors that are putting in a lot of work. I'm not sure if everybody saw Truby's article on Amazing Spider-Man spoilers. Truby's probably going to be doing more articles for us in the near future, which will be amazing. And then we've also got a whole bunch of changes coming as soon as RJ gets back. They're not big dramatic changes, but you might be seeing a few new faces around here, which will be great for the rest of us. Alongside that, we mostly just have a little bit more left to talk about. I will be doing a Shadow Melds Laboratory today, and I'll be talking about some things I've noticed in Amazing Spider-Man. So, without any further ado, let's get right into that. Welcome to Shadow Melds Laboratory, where we talk about all things evil and how to defeat our nemesi. So today, on Shadow Melds Laboratory, I'm looking forward to Amazing Spider-Man. Specifically, I'm looking forward to a basic action that is going to pair with my favorite basic action in such a way that it is amazing. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Arch Nemesis. It's that starter basic action card in Amazing Spider-Man that's got Daredevil staring down the Kingpin. The art is amazing, but more importantly, it's a 4-cost basic action that says, target character die you control and target opposing character die deal damage to each other equal to their attack. Global, pay a shield, target character has defense equal to its attack until end of turn. Why is this amazing? Well, as many of you may know, my favorite basic action is Mystic Box, or Transfer Power, however you want to look at it, because of their global. And their global is swap your character's attack with an opposing character's attack. Combine these two globals together, and you can take your sidekick's one attack, swap it with your opponent's Hulk, and now their Hulk is a 1-5 or a 1-8. And then you pay another shield, and now their Hulk is a 1-1, because their defense becomes equal to their attack, and you just gave them the attack of your sidekick. That means even if your opponent wants to trigger their Hulk, they can only do it once before he dies. That is just a spectacular combination for a very cheap 2 shields. On a solid shield team, which most of you know, I love running shields. That is one character die that didn't come up a character face, or two, like a question mark and a shield, or whatever you happen to save. It's just a solid quality control device for keeping your opponent suppressed and down. But that's not the only reason I love this card. Its actual action die effect is also spectacular. If you just pay the shield to make your opponent's character defense equal to their attack, and then you use Mystic Box to swap, and then you play the action die, you're guaranteed to eliminate them with any die you have on your field. And you are not necessarily, like, if you play defensive characters, you're not going to kill yourself, because say you have a 2-3, right? Like a Constantine level 2. He's a 2-3, 2 attack, 3 defense, and you swap it with an 8-8. Constantine's now an 8-3, your opponent's character is a 2-8, and you fight them with Arch Nemesis. Fighting is what this mechanic is called in Magic the Gathering, by the way. And you fight them. Your Constantine has 8 attack, but their Hulk or whatever only has a 2 attack. So he's not going to kill your Constantine off, but Constantine will kill them. This card highly benefits teams that have slightly more defense than they have attack because of that attack trade and what Mystic Box can do by swapping them. Again, I absolutely love it. There is one other amazing benefit that I found out about this card. I was looking at putting it on a team. I was doing some research. I was looking at Spider-Man cards, and I found Aunt May, the uncommon. I don't even recall. But she has Aftermath that says when she dies, you move a character from your prep area, from your prep area to the field at level one. So like a polymorph effect, but from prep to field instead of used to field. What is really spectacular, though, is it's Aftershock. And I was like, oh man, but that forces my opponent to have to kill my character. But looking at the rules and paying close attention, Aftershock is triggered when your opponent's characters deal damage to you. So by playing this action die and forcing your opponent's character to deal damage to your character, you can trigger your own Aftershocks. You can trigger Aftershock Hulk. You can trigger Aftershock Black Widow. You can trigger Aftershock Aunt May. And those are the only ones that I think we know about so far, but I'm sure there are going to be others. Speaking of which, all three of those characters are shield characters. So Aftershock seems to be a pretty solid shield energy type ability, which is just a symptom of good game design, that you have this sort of card and that sort of ability, and they synergize so well, and it's designed that way. It's a more depth in coherent set design than I think I've ever noticed in Dice Masters before. So significant props to the team designers and the game designers. It's a noticeable, I don't want to say improvement, but it's a glimpse under the hood of set design. And I think you did an amazing job in this particular instance. So kudos to you guys. Arch Nemesis, 4-cost basic action. It's cheap enough. You can buy it first or second turn, depending on what ramp you're using. And it's an amazing removal. It's amazing control card. And it allows you to trigger your own Aftershock abilities. So needless to say, that's why I'm in love with this card. Anyway, that's been Shadow Melt's Laboratory. Talk to you guys later.